Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that emphasizes God's unconditional love and grace. And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Tuesday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today, I'm into my third week of teaching on a series that I've entitled The Believer's Authority. There's actually six parts to this teaching today. I'm beginning the third part in this teaching, and this teaching is entitled With Authority Comes Responsibility. Now, let me just quickly go back and say that I've established that we're in a spiritual war, and this is why we need to know our authority. We have an enemy out there that is coming against us, and he has been overrated primarily by the church. The church has given Satan more due than I believe that we should have. And then I went into the second part, and basically the main point, I'm going to refrain myself from going back and re-preaching this because it's so different than what most people have heard that I could just re-preach this whole thing. But the point I've been trying to make is most Christians believe that Satan has an angelic, superhuman power and authority that we are fighting against. That's really not so. Satan had no authority against Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve were absolute authority and rulers over this earth. And so Satan had to come and tempt them, and Adam and Eve submitted to Satan. And the power that we are fighting against in Satan is not a supernatural, angelic power and authority. It is the human authority that God gave mankind. And we are the ones that created Satan. We are the ones that empowered him. And Satan has been fighting against the human race with human power and authority that was yielded to him through Adam and Eve. And so the benefit of this, understanding this, is you recognize that Satan cannot do anything to us without our consent and cooperation. This is why he has to seek a body to inhabit, because Satan is a spirit and he cannot just do anything without cooperation from some physical being. So anyway, that is a tremendous truth, and I shared a little bit about this is why it took 4,000 years for God to bring Jesus on the scene, and I also explain why Jesus had to become a man. It's because God was a spirit, John 4:24, and he gave authority over this earth to physical human beings. So God had to become physical to come down here and right the wrongs and set things straight. That's why Jesus had to become a person. I tell you, that is tremendous. And once you understand this, it accomplishes a lot of things. One of those things is that to me, it is just amazing. It's overwhelming that God Almighty has so much integrity that he will not violate his word. And when he says, you have dominion, you rule, you subdue, even though God hated the way that mankind ruled and the way that we turned the authority of this world over to the devil, God would not violate his promise to Adam. He says, it's yours. Do with it what you want. And most of us would have just said, oh, this is not what I intended. We would have changed it. We would have come down. We would have broken our promise and said, no, this isn't what I meant. We would have exercised our power and have taken back that authority. But God held to his word. Again, I use this verse that I've used often. Psalms chapter 89, verse 34 says, my covenant will I not break nor alter the thing that has gone forth out of my lips. God has integrity. When he says something, it's a contract. He won't alter it. He will not lie. You know, I just saw something yesterday on television, and they were talking about the Hubble Space Telescope, and they were, you know, doing all of these things. And anyway, I won't go into all of this. I don't even understand everything they were saying. But they have now come to the conclusion that there is what they call black matter and black energy. And what they mean by that is you can't see this. But they were trying to say that the earth, or not only the earth, but the whole universe is expanding at this exponential rate. It's speeding up. And things should be just flying apart, even down to the molecular structure, the atom. It should be falling apart. And yet there is something holding it together. So they call it black energy. You can't see it, but it's there. And they're trying to quantify this and figure all this out. You know what it is that holds everything together? It's the integrity of God's Word. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3 says that He is the express image of the Father, and He upholds all things by the word of His power. That's including the atoms, the molecular structure, our body, this earth, the universe. Everything is held together by God's integrity. And if He was to ever violate His word, just because He didn't like the way that we took our authority and empowered Satan and made him the god of this world, if He would have violated His word, it's the integrity of His word that holds everything together. This universe would have blown up. It would have self-destructed. God cannot violate His nature. He cannot lie. And it just amazes me the way that He has so much integrity, even though that by Him holding to His word, it took 4,000 years for Jesus to come on the scene because He was no longer in direct control and authority. He had to speak through man, and it took 4,000 years to find enough men who would operate in faith to speak forth these words and allow the physical body of Jesus to be created. Yet Jesus, I mean God the Father, held to this. He has integrity. And it shows me a lot of things. That see, even though God loves you and He wants you to be set free and He wants you to be healed and He wants you to be saved, He has given us power and authority. He says, you choose. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19, behold, I call heaven and earth to record against you this day that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life that you and your seed may live. God gave you the choice. God will not make it for you. He doesn't will for any single person to go to hell. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9 says, He is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God wants you to be saved, but you know what? He will not force you to be saved. He will not violate His word. He said, you choose. And you know, He even gives you the answer to this little pop quiz. Like again, Deuteronomy 30, 19, choose life, death, blessing, and cursing. That ought to be a no-brainer. Everybody ought to choose life. Everybody ought to choose blessing. But just in case anybody misses it, He says, choose life. He gives you the answer. A is the answer. Choose life. Amen. But it's your choice. He will not force you to be saved. He will not force you to be healed. He will not force you to be blessed and prosperous. And see, Christians are missing this, and they're praying and saying, oh God, please move. Oh God, please set me free. It's not up to God whether you're free. He's already provided the atonement. He has provided for the salvation of every person. He's provided for the healing of every person. He's provided for your prosperity. He's spoken the blessing over you and has given you power to get wealth. But you have to take the power that God has already released and use your authority to make it come to pass. And people miss this. See, I don't know how to explain this any better than what I'm doing, but I feel frustrated. I know that people aren't getting what I'm saying. But there are people that, like when it comes to healing, you'll pray and you'll pray for this person to be healed. And if they die, then you just are totally upset with God. Like, God, I don't understand why you didn't do this. You're God. You could have done this if you wanted to. And see, what you're missing is that God has provided healing, but He has given the authority to heal to you. And you have to exercise your authority. And if you just advocate that authority and say, oh God, please come and heal this person, and you don't take your authority and do what He says, I'm going to be sharing a lot of scriptures about how you use this authority. If you don't use that authority, then God cannot. You could say will not. Because I guess God Almighty could do anything He wants to, but He will not ever violate what He said. In James chapter 4, verse 7, it says, submit yourselves therefore unto God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. It puts responsibility on you to resist the devil. And if you don't resist the devil, you could pray and ask God to resist the devil. You could pray and ask God to get cancer off of you and to get this problem off of you, to take away your poverty and to do all of these things. You can beg and plead, and you can be sincere and you can be a good person. You could be born again and God loves you and wants to set you free, but He's already generated the power. Now it's up to you to resist the devil and he will flee from you. You can't ask God to resist the devil for you. You can't ask God. Now, I'm going to say something right here that's just going to blow some of your all circuits, but I'm going to back it up. If you can just stick with me long enough, I'm going to share scripture with you and show this to you. But you can't just ask God to heal you. God has already healed you. 1 Peter 2:24 says, by His stripes you were healed. He's already generated the power, the provision is there, and now He has given you the power and the authority to release His healing. So it is wrong. I know that this is just causing some of you to say, this can't be. This is the way that the whole Christian world is doing it. But I'm telling you, this is what the Word says. The Word says you resist the devil and he'll flee from you. Let me just read some scriptures to you. This is in Luke chapter 9 and also in Matthew chapter 10. It's the exact same instance recorded in two separate places. But here Jesus calls His 12 apostles unto Him. And in Matthew chapter 10, verse 1, it says, when He had called unto Him His 12 disciples, He gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Notice He gave them power over all sickness and over all disease. Let me read this also out of Luke chapter 9. And in verse 1 it says, and He called His 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all devils and to cure diseases. Now, the way it's mentioned here in Luke chapter 9 is very significant. Over in Matthew chapter 10, it says He gave them power, but this is the same thing spoken in Luke chapter 9. It's the same instance, just written by a different writer. And it says He gave them power and authority. Now, see, power is where God gives you the ability. He gives you, the word is literally dunamis, where He gives you this supernatural power and ability over all sickness and over all disease. But then the word authority is the, it's not only the ability, but it enables you to exercise that power. In other words, you need power and authority. You know, in a business situation, this might help you to understand this, but sometimes people will hire people and they say, all right, here, I'm giving you this power to run this business or something like that. But then as a person begins to exercise that power, which is authority, the boss will step in and say, no, you do it this, and they micromanage. And this is a problem that happens in business often, is that you hire a person, you give them this responsibility, but then they don't really have the authority to do it. You are sitting there looking over their shoulder, and what that'll do is cripple a business. Now, there needs to be some supervision. I'm not saying that you just turn them loose, but I'm saying that if you give a person responsibility, you've got to also give them the authority to exercise that power that you've given them. You've got to turn them loose. And with God, see, this is the way that He did. He not only gave us His power, but then He gave us authority. And He gave us an absolute authority so that if you aren't exercising it, then He's not going to step in and do it for you. Now, again, this is different than the management style that most people use. They sit there and they just are after results. They're results oriented. And if they see a person under them doing something in a way that isn't getting the proper results, then they'll just step in. They'll overstep the authority of the person that's in that department and they'll just fix it and they'll make the end results come out. That's not the way that God does things. When God gives you authority and He tells you, you resist the devil, if you don't resist the devil, He's not going to do it for you. He's not going to step in and just guarantee the outcome. Now, this may not be the way you like it to be, but again, this goes back to the integrity of God. When He says, I give you power and authority, then if you don't exercise that authority, it's not going to be done. God is not going to just guarantee the right results. People die all the time, not because that's God's will, but because God gave us the power and the authority to use that power. And it is our lack of taking our authority and using it that is tying the hands of God. And God is not going to just overstep what He told us. He's not going to rebuke the devil for us. You know, if you go on down in this 10th chapter of the book of Matthew, same thing's true in Luke chapter 9, he begins to give His disciples instructions as they go out. And in verse 7, this is Matthew 10:7, he says, "And as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely you have received, freely give." Notice it says he gave them this power and authority, and then he told them, "You heal the sick." He did not tell his disciples, "Go out and pray and ask me to heal the sick." Now, some of you, this is just, again, radical. This is so different than what most people think, but I'm reading scripture to you. Jesus did not tell them, "Go pray for the sick." He said, "No, go heal the sick." The way that this is stated, see, goes back to this deal of power and authority. God gave us power and authority and told us to exercise it. He didn't tell us to go pray for the sick. He says, "You go heal the sick. You get them well." Now, see, most people would totally reject the approach that I'm taking right here. This is the reason that many, many, many Christians, they stop right here. And they will pray for the sick. They don't mind saying, "God, you're almighty. You can do anything. You have not done nothing, but you could do it if you want to. We ask you, if it be your will, heal." Nearly any Christian will pray a prayer like that. Because, see, there's no danger in that. There is no way that you can fail. You just throw your prayer out there, and if the person gets well, it must have been God's will. If they don't, well, God works in mysterious ways. But for you to go out and take this approach that, you know what, God gave me power and authority over all sickness and over all disease, and I am not just praying and asking you, God, but instead, in the name of Jesus, you be healed, and you take your authority and you command healing to come to pass. If you do that, that's risky. If you don't see the right results, then there is the potential that you fail. And see, there's responsibility when you take this approach, that God has given me power and authority, and I'm going to stand up and take my authority, and I'm not just begging and asking God, but I believe that God has put the same power on the inside of me that raised Jesus Christ from the dead. That's what Ephesians 1:19 says. And if I've got that power, I've also got the authority to use it, and I'm going to use it, and I am commanding this problem to change. When you take that approach, I guarantee you that is totally different, and it puts responsibility upon you. And most people, even most Christians, are not willing to take that authority and that responsibility. They don't want to do that. Now, let me just make this clear. Somebody's going to think, so you think that you're the one that's healing these people. You know, I couldn't heal a gnat. It is not my power. I don't have any raising from the dead power in just this physical body. Here's a scripture. Let me refer to this because I'm sure many of you have probably thought of this as I've been talking about it. But in John chapter 15 and in verse 5, he says, "I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing." And see, here I am saying that God has empowered us and told us to go heal the sick, not just ask Him to do it, but we have this command to heal the sick, which implies that that power and authority isn't out there in the heavens somewhere and you got to pray it down, but instead it's in us and we've got to take it and exercise it. As I say things like this, people say, "Well, now, wait a minute. Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing." I agree with that 100%. Without God, I can heal nobody. Without God, I am a zero with the rim knocked off. I am absolutely nothing without God. No argument, no complaint. But what I disagree with is that I am not without God. I am now born again. I have now been endued with power from my Creator, and He told me to go heal the sick. And so it's true that without Him, I'm nothing, but I'm not without Him. He never leaves me nor forsakes me. And for a Christian to approach their problems, whether it's in themselves or it's in a person that they're ministering to, and if you approach it and say, "Oh God, we're powerless. Oh God, we have no ability. Oh God, we are just looking to you. Would you please move?" You are absolutely denying the power and the authority that God has given you. And I'm saying that this is at the core, probably one of the main things that is stopping Christians all over the world from seeing the goodness of God manifest in their life, because they don't believe that God has already generated the power the anointing than it takes to set you free. They believe he can do it, but that he hasn't done it. They don't understand that that power has been placed on the inside of us and that we have to take our authority and use it. See, God has given us power and authority, but with authority comes responsibility. If you aren't going to take what God has given you, and if you're going to approach your situation, oh God, we're powerless. Oh God, we can do nothing. Would you please move? You have advocated your authority. Now, it may have been through ignorance that you've taken that approach, but you can't claim ignorance anymore because I'm telling you the truth today. Or it could just be that people don't like to assume that kind of responsibility. And they say, so you're saying that it's my fault that things aren't working better, that God's already produced the power and he's put it on the inside of me. And you're saying the reason my life is going the direction it's going is because of me. Yep, that's what I'm saying. Amen. It's not quite that simple. You have other people involved in it. Other people can give you problems, but ultimately, you're the one that has the greatest authority over your life. Nobody can do anything to you without your consent and cooperation. But it's as simple as what I'm talking about. God has delivered us from the power of the devil. He's put this raising from the dead power on the inside of us, but he also gave us the authority to use it. God will not do it without us. And we certainly can't do it without him. It has to be a joint heirship. You have to take that authority and begin to start speaking to your problem. I'm going to give you a number of examples of this. In the 11th chapter of the book of Mark, we're going to go into more detail and say and show you where Jesus said you have to speak to your mountain. Speak to the problem. Don't talk to God about your problem, but talk directly to your problem. I'm going to use an example in the 3rd chapter of the book of Acts and show you how that Peter and John, as they went into the temple, they never prayed a prayer and asked God to heal this man who was lame. They said, such as I have, give I unto thee. Did you know that would have gotten them kicked out of nearly any church in the world today? You're saying that you have this power. You're saying that you're the one that's producing the power. Again, it wasn't them claiming that it was their power, but it was God's power in them, and they had it. And they knew that they had it, and they took that authority, and they spoke, and they saw this lame man healed. I'm going to go into more detail and show this to you, but the point I'm trying to get across is that God has generated the power and authority and has placed them inside of us, and that makes us responsible. It is not God who is letting you flounder and not receive the things that you need. God has already produced the power and has given you the authority. And in the vast majority of cases, the number one problem is we just aren't taking our authority and using what God has given us. I tell you, this is going to rub some people the wrong way, but sometimes you got to be terrified before you get edified. Amen. And by accepting this responsibility, it'll help you. We're out of time today, but I do have a lot of materials on this. I've got actually a DVD set that is taken directly from TV. I've got a DVD set that was made from a recent Gospel Truth seminar. I've got a CD set that teaches this. I've got a brand new book and a study guide. All of these materials would help you. So listen to our announcer and call or write today.
The Believer's Authority is available for the very first time in book form and can be ordered through bookstores nationwide. Or you can receive a copy when you send a gift of any amount for the work of this ministry. Request book T327 when you write or call or when you go to our website. A Spanish version is also available. Request book T735. The Believer's Authority Companion Study Guide is available for a gift of $35 or more. Request Study Guide T427 when you contact the ministry. Andrew's complete teaching titled, The Believer's Authority, was recorded live at a recent Gospel Truth seminar. It's available on DVD for a gift of any amount. Request DVD album T3205D when you contact us. You can also get Andrew's teaching as seen on TV. It's available on either CD or DVD when you send a gift of any amount. Request CD album T1045C or DVD album T1045D when you contact us. The third teaching in the audio CD album titled With Authority Comes Responsibility Part 1 is also available for a gift of any amount. We encourage everyone to give, but if you're simply unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will provide this third CD free of charge. Request teaching number TL20 when you write or call, and we'll be pleased to send it to you.
Let me advertise this DVD set that was made recently at one of our Gospel Truth seminars. We have a As Seen on TV DVD that is these exact programs that you can get. But this DVD set was made at a recent seminar, and I taught just a little bit differently than what I'm doing here on television. You know, I never teach the same thing exactly the same way twice. And I tell you, this was a powerful set. We probably saw more miracles in one meeting at Atlanta when I taught this than just about any place else I've ever ministered. We saw, I think it was 5 people come out of wheelchairs. One woman had been in bed for 13 years, got up and ran around the auditorium. We had tumors dissolve. It was awesome. This would be a blessing. So please get this DVD set live from a Gospel Truth seminar.
You can use your credit card to order by telephone. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. Helpline hours are from 4 a.m. until 9:30 p.m. Mountain Time. Or you can reach us through our website where you can order ministry materials online at awmi.net. If you prefer to write to us, our address is Andrew Womack Ministries, P.O. Box 3333, Colorado Springs, 80934. We appreciate your generosity. We hope to hear from you today. We'd like to point out Andrew's upcoming speaking schedule. He'll be in Chicago, Illinois for a Gospel Truth seminar May 7th through the 9th and in Amsterdam, Holland for the Eurospirit Conference May 21st through the 23rd. He'll also be in Raleigh, North Carolina for a Gospel Truth seminar June 11th through the 13th and in Colorado Springs for the annual Summer Family Bible Conference June 29th through July 3rd. For more details on Andrew's next meeting in your area, call our helpline or visit our website at awmi.net.
Whether I win or lose doesn't define who I am, because for every high in life, I know there can always be a low. I find my strength in prayer. God wants us to pray, and He delights when we do. Prayer is a comfort when things are difficult and a joy when they're not. Throughout my life, my heart has been changed through prayer. And if it can change one heart, it can change the heart of a nation. The National Day of Prayer is the first Thursday in May. Please join your family, your friends, your co-workers. Join me and millions of other Americans as we unite in prayer for our nation.
Be part of the National Day of Prayer, the first Thursday in May, nationaldayofprayer.org.